Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. This episode is an almost complete recording of an event that took place a while ago, where which the launch of Metal on Merseyside, a project you'll all know if you follow my socials and what have you, and the Spoken Metal Show on the social medias, is a project I was talking about and hinting at and kind of pointing to for quite some time. Every time we've done Q&As and things like that, for various things, for Ned's book and what have you, it was always kind of hinted that we should do something bigger. So eventually we got round to doing it and organising it, and that became Metal on Merseyside. I don't want to talk too much about that and its inception, because Ned does a really good job on the recording you're about to hear. But also we're going to delve deep into that on other shows and in other live events about kind of what this project is and what it means. Metal on Merseyside is something very, very close to my heart, because it's something very organically created and something that we listen to everybody around us and worked collaboratively with the other people in the group to make happen. And this launch, a group of bands on, which I'll talk about in a second, we then had a Q&A and then a keynote speaker as well, which was kind of setting the template of what we wanted to do with live events. And it was brilliant. It was something that I really enjoyed doing. I think it was incredibly worthwhile. I thought people got a lot of value from it. And the feedback I've had from it has been astronomical. And a lot of people have asked, was it recorded? Well, it was by my recording device. And didn't do a great job of it, if I'm honest. But I managed to clear up a lot of the bits and pieces and got it to it's all a listenable quality. As we go forward, we're going to record these visually and as well as audibly, and you can hear that and then see that, and we'll chop it up and put in sections so you can see that. But for this initial launch was a handshake, a hello, just a greet to say, hey, this is who we are and this is what we want to do. And just a really big shout out to the bands that played. Atanamir without Mac, we're superb, we're absolutely superb. And Omega Throne, I mean, I've talked and waxed lyrical about Omega Throne for quite some time. We've had Jeff on the show, I'll probably have other members on the show as well. What a fabulous band. What a great example of intelligent extreme metal there. And then obviously Deified, whom are just one of the premier acts within the Northwest, and then within Merseyside, just it's almost a complete article, so and we've had Deified on the show as well. So, and I think we will have Atanamir on the show as a sidebar. Mac, as you'll know if you follow Atanamir, has recently been very poorly and ill and had an accident and some issues. And it meant a lot to see him. He came to the show before we opened the doors to the public. He kind of came along just to say, hey, his conditioning and the things that he's struggling with prevent him going to loud music events and things like that, and they're quite difficult for him at the moment. But he came and just to say, hey, and it was, Mac, it was great to see you. It was great to see that you're doing well, and I know how much that this event meant to you, and the Metal on Merseyside project means to you as well. And it was great to have your support, and we'll see you again on stage, I'm sure, brother. We really will. So that's something I'm looking forward to seeing. And it was nice to see you, man. And then the Zanzibar itself couldn't have been more accommodating to have there. There's an upstairs to it as well, which was fabulous, that we need to kind of maybe go and have a look at But a lot of people were saying, there are issues with the sound with Zanzi, and I wanted to put that on Front Street because it's a problem and it's an issue that we're trying to help and trying to facilitate. Having Freddie from Novacrow, also who's been on the Spoken Metal Show as the sound guy, was, I cannot thank Freddie enough. Thank you, Freddie. Superb individual, and helped get a really good sound, a really massive sound from the Zanzi. It can be done. And as another sidebar, there are moves that are happening as we speak. I've been sent some bits and pieces and things to help improve things like the fold back and all the things that people weren't so happy with. That is in play, you're being listened to, and changes are being made, and this is the things we're talking about. And and I just wanted to say thanks to Nadine Massam, who wrote the book Metal on Merseyside, which started this whole project off. you know, did an introduction where I think he sums up the project very, very nicely. To JJ's, you know, something of a legend in this business, and he's been greatly involved in Metal on Merseyside, so it's really nice to have him aboard. And obviously Andy from Deathwave, you know, Andy's just, you know, what a superb, you know, and positive force behind the extreme metal scene within Merseyside, and a huge, you know, a lovely gentleman just to boot with metal to the masses and stuff is incredibly important. So it's really nice to be involved with him on the project. And then, and Joe Mortimer is, you know, the slam scene in the Northwest and Merseyside for me. And what he's doing is unbelievable on so many levels. I don't think I've met a guy who works harder. He's constant inspiration. And I salute you, sir, because I always look at my shit and think, you know, I should be working harder like Joe is. And, you know, so to be a tiny part of this Metal on Merseyside project, I'm really, really happy that that's the case. And then for everybody to see that and have the all of us on stage was just incredibly, you know, incredibly heartening for me to show that. We wanted to show, ladies and gentlemen, we wanted to show that there is a collective front of people here, that there's a collective group, that we're together, that there's not promoters and people like that fighting with each other. There's no sort of politics or anything like that. It was a collective show of what we were doing is we were all on the same page. And to have Sal do the keynotes, you know, Sal, who ran Whiplash for a long time and brought some fabulous bands to the city and was a stalwart of the independent metal scene, is, you know, was just superb to have her as the keynote. And that's included at the end of this recording as well, so you can hear that. That was something that was fantastic. She said some very, very kind words to us, and it was nice to have her blessing and almost a passing of the torch, if you will, to the project, which was nice. I'm going to try and get some more keynote speakers and speak to some people going forward that we think are hugely influential and have a spotlight shined on them. In terms of the event itself, the Q&A was really interesting. We just wanted to introduce ourselves. Well, very quickly it became, and you'll hear this on the recording, that people were really passionate the scene and where it is and what they can do, and they wanted to help and they wanted to know. You'll hear people say, what can we do and how can we help? And that was unbelievable to hear. We knew it was going on, but people very quickly wanted answers, rightly so, I guess. Very quickly wanted us to start moving and start making decisions and making positive changes and actions. And that, you know, that's great. I mean, we have to temper this, and I do have to temper this slightly, in so much as this is going to be a long process, folks. This is going to be a long time to work and change and make things better. And so you have to bear with us. And there's some stuff we can talk about and some stuff we can't talk about, because it's in flux and it's in move. But it was just, you know, the passion that you can hear in the crowd about people that there was fantastic. And so we're already listening to that, just that alone, and starting to orchestrate events and orchestrate things that are going to happen to look at that. And so one of the things that became clear was that, you know, we're not a promotions company. We're not a promoter. We're not here to just singly put gigs on, which is several bands and pay on the door type of thing. Because there's many, many promoters who are doing this. The project goes above and beyond that. It's about creating structure for those things to happen, about, you know, interest and generating interest and showing people who don't have an awareness of the scene about what the scene is, the beneficial elements of that and what is happening within that scene, and to bring and shine a light to that and create an infrastructure, not just for bands, but for crew and for promoters and for lighting engineers and sound guys to thrive and become part of something bigger within our own scene. And so, you know, it's going to be a series of events on many, many different levels. And you'll see as the kind of the project, you know, becomes bigger and bigger and moves forward, you'll see that. You'll see the types of things that we're going to be doing. There's a good starting point was going to be the website, which you can view on metalonmerseyside.co.uk. You can see through our socials and our socials for that as well, where you can go and see that and kind of check that out, particularly the events page. One of the things that came out is the events side of things, where it's like, where can we go and see metal within Merseyside? And so we're already starting to work on the events page, so you can see the posters and flyers of events that are coming up, and there is a shed load. After we launched, I and the other members of Metal on Merseyside and Metal on Merseyside itself were inundated with stuff, absolutely inundated, and it keeps its daily of people wanting to play shows, needing help with shows, you know, kind of want to put events on, want to be involved in any way they can. Absolutely superb. That is absolutely what we wanted to happen, and that is already the case. That is already something that is happening, which is fantastic. I make points of saying at the show as well that we're not asking you to help us. We're saying, what can we do to help you if you're a venue, a promoter, a band, an artist in whatever capacity it is? How can we help you do something more within the Merseyside metal scene and beyond, you know, beyond into music in general and the outer layings of metal, you know, be it rock or whatever it is, and the connections to that, all forms of music and all forms of the scene, because we can all help each other. And so that was really the feedback that we got from the actual night itself. But it's nice to show you and for you to hear a recording of that show. Like I say, we're going to start recording more of them and do more of these shows and record them better, but we're just starting. It's in its infancy. It's going to grow to something, hopefully, you know, something very, very special. So please, if you will, you know, just manage expectations on the recording, but it's still really great to hear and hear the passion, hear the people are there, hear the people are talking about the scene and how passionate they are. Listen to their voices, because they are there. And then at the next event, come and share your voice. And also, we'll be doing some stuff digitally as well, so you'll be able to come and listen and talk and converse and Q&A there. And workshops as well, we're going to be doing some of those where we're going to talk about how we can help. But I want you to feel free to contact me at the Spoken Metal Show about anything you want to do. Already, people have messaged me just saying what we're doing is important and supporting us. That's great. That's simply that. You don't have to bring something or ask for something or want help. Just the support is absolutely superb. It's really, really helpful. So please enjoy this recording of our launch of Metal on Merseyside.
That tends to have other stories, other narratives about music. I wanted to kind of change that narrative a little bit. So the only way of doing that was to meet people from within the scene, and that's when I came across the people who I'm going to invite onto the stage in a moment. People, promoters, DJs, musicians were really kind enough to sort of talk to me, and there's so much research done that's kind of done to people, and I really wanted to kind of get to do research with people in a kind of partnership. So Metal on Merseyside, the book project, really was done in partnership with a lot of people from within. You know, many of the bands that you see today, particularly the guys from Deified, were really kind with their time for me during that project. After that project had finished, though, a lot of people kind of came up to me and were like, we want this dialogue to continue. Some of those issues that people were talking about during that research, things like why don't people know about the metal scene in Merseyside, that was something that I wanted to kind of work with other people to rectify. How do we address some of the issues that, you know, with shortage of venues and those sorts of things that we'll talk about in a moment. So I kind of, together with the people I'm going to invite on stage, we wanted to kind of make sure that that dialogue that was happening during the book project, during the book launch, when we had a really interesting discussion, I wanted to make sure that that continued, but also that it wasn't just a dialogue, that we actually started to make some changes, that we actually started to address some of those key issues. So that's why, you know, this is the starting point. This is the beginning of something. We're launching a website, which is going to go properly live any day or not. Day or so, and that really is going to do two things. One, it's going to tell a bit of that hidden history. It's going to talk about Liverpool's heavy rock and metal music heritage. It's going to talk about the importance of venues like Crazy House and so on and so forth. But secondly, and more importantly, it's going to be a resource for the community, for you guys, for the scene, to support that scene, to have events like this where we can talk about some of the things that maybe we want to change and get behind. So without further ado then, I'm going to invite onto stage the other members of Metal on Merseyside. We'll start with, wherever he is, Mark Cooper, from Spoken Metal.
Thank you. Ned's new to this commentary and thingy game, so he'd like if you oblige with it. What the fuck up, Liverpool? I said, what the fuck up, Liverpool? What the fuck up, Liverpool? Like that. This is not for the purposes of the pitch, this is for the purposes so we can talk. Yeah? You all need to come much closer. We're going to do a Q&A. We want to talk to you. There's no point with dialogue. Shout over the fucking... Let's bring it in. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, as long as we're in reassurance, we get, I'm not shouting. Get the fuck up! It's like, sit the fuck down! Sit the fuck down.
Okay, so... next person I'm going to invite, Mr. Andy Hughes from Death Wave Promotion. Ben, he really doesn't like this. Joe Mortimer, UK Slam Fest. Finally, the legend himself, Mr. JJ Haggar. Okay, Coop, it is your terrain.
I'll feel this. So here's how it's going to play out. We're going to have a little bit of a chat, and we're going to talk about some shit and answer some questions that you might have. All of us will are open to whatever you want to ask. Then we're going to have a very nice keynote speaker, so we're going to talk a little bit about some things, and then we're going to get on to today at 5 to school. And as obliges me being some kind of announcer, I'm legally obliged to say, everybody looking forward to day 5! Yeah! Oh, it's boring. Have your questions ready about what the fuck would fucking, I love this. And here, come up and ask him.
What do you think the most popular metal subgenre in Merseyside might think that is?
Anybody want to feel this? I believe Joe might. Yeah? Come on. I don't know where to start. I'd say hardcore's got quite a big scene at the moment. Bands like Load were really eating a lot coming out of the city. A few months back, I think you might have been here for the God Complex show, for their final farewell show. Absolutely ran venue, rabid crowd, everybody going crazy. So that kind of like Martin the hardcore definitely is one of the more popular genres of the more extreme metal. And I'd say, anybody else want to jump in?
I'm going to answer that with, if you go on to one of the biggest metal sites in America, it's called Pitchfork. They have got on their app 17 sub-genres of metal that you can click on and listen and go through. So at the end of the day, we are far down the road from just being British Steel and having Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. 17 sub-genres is a lot. So for whatever the most popular one is in Liverpool, go and have a look at the 17 there and see where the bands fit.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah.
Okay, from what people told me during the research, one of the things I found interesting about Liverpool was that people tend to characterise it as a bit of a city of extreme metal. Right, because you've got that kind of heritage with bands like Anathema and Carcass, who started off like, you know, playing in smaller venues and so on in the city. So I would say that the more extreme sort of stuff tends to be quite popular in Liverpool. We've had various kind of incarnations of death metal bands that do pretty well in this city, I would say. And also, I think because we're next to Manchester, don't all boo at once, but I think that, you know, one of the issues for us has been when we've got these little venues, it's hard to attract certain kinds of the more mainstream of the kind of extreme metal bands. So you get some really interesting extreme metal bands playing Liverpool. You know, the sort of gig that Joe was putting on a few years ago. You get opportunities to see some really interesting, more extreme metal bands, you know, slam death metal and stuff like that, that might not necessarily get booked in Manchester. So that'd be my answer to that.
I just quickly want to field this. We've got on the website, you'll see there's a manifesto of kind of what we intend to do. And a part of that, a small section of that, is that we want to be arms open, not arms closed to like Manchester or whatever, Leeds, Birmingham. We want to welcome them and encourage things like gig swapping, very basic stuff like gig swapping and that kind of dialogue to continue. We're all in this together, and there's no excusatory sort of element to that. I mean, I don't know how much that answers your question, we just went off a little bit of a close.
Yeah, close enough. I'm just quite interested how, like, my subgenres are more popular in other areas.
Next.
Plant metals and metal in apartments.
Next book really puts an interesting thing where it talks about areas of social disadvantage often breed like some of the best sort of metal, because like in Birmingham and Sabbath and Foundries, Liverpool is the same. You know, we all know how tough it is and how tough it's been living in Liverpool. Now the government fucks us over regularly, we know this. That gives birth to some pretty extreme shit, like, and that plays right into our wheelhouse. Anybody else? Where my man over there, sorry.
Why doesn't BBC use any metal yet Manchester and every other area does?
Anybody want to field this, Jay?
Yeah,
if you look at BBC Introducing, I think you'll find now that Alex, who has been sitting in for Daniel B. Carter on The Rock Show, is about to start in September a BBC. I know it's a start, but she's starting the BBC Introducing Rock Hour on a Monday, which I think is going to be incredible. But when they opened the Introducing portal for bands to put their tracks up, it crashed. That just shows you how great the need is for rock and metal on BBC Introducing. So I would say, get on there and speak to Alex direct. She's on Twitter, she's on everything. She's absolutely fantastic. She does grand radio. She will make sure your band is on there, and it's definitely going to be better than it ever was. And Mondays on BBC are going to be incredible moving forward. So I would say get on there now, and it's a start. But going back to your question about genres, Sharky's here, and he has the best t-shirt shop in Liverpool. He will answer what the biggest bands that sell in Liverpool are, because he sells all the t-shirts.
It's one of the things in the whole premise of what we're trying to do here is actually fucking do things. I'll talk about them, as JJ says. There are moves now to have sessions and introducing based around metal. Yes, I 100% agree, we should have had this a long time ago. But what you have to realise, and what we realised very early on with these Q&As, is that there's no one speaking up for us in those larger forums. Ain't no one speaking up for us. We're going to have to make it so they can't ignore us. This one of the problems that we had was with, we wanted to be involved with Sound City, but we have to make sure that we're attracted to that and we can put on something that's of interest. So events like this, and the many more that we will hold, we've invited people that normally wouldn't come to a metal show or wouldn't come to a rock show or don't understand the culture that's behind it, to show them and go, look at this beautiful thing that is right on your back door, and you can see it anytime you want. And they've seen that, it's being seen, trust me, where they're kind of breaking some taboos about what an actual metal show is, and that there's even a following. There's no one speaking up for us, folks. There's no one speaking up for us, and that's one of the biggest things that we've been able to do.
Sorry, just one more point in relation to the question over here, in relation to the BBC Introducing. I would say two things. So one is, But what you've got to remember is radio stations like BBC radio stations have quite a specific remit around what they think is radio friendly.
That's the reason why everyone's probably here.
Absolutely, absolutely. I asked the presenter of BBC Radio Introducing that question because he comes to speak to my students. What he would probably say is, one of the things, unfortunately, he doesn't know about the bands in Liverpool. So what that says to me is that part of the issue is an awareness raising on both sides. I think the bands that are radio friendly enough to get onto BBC Radio Merseyside, to get onto BBC Radio 6, need to be getting their act together to the point where they're putting their music on the system. And I'm not sure they know about that system. And secondly, I would say that, you know, there is a sense that, historically speaking, the BBC's treatment of heavy metal has been to kind of sideline it.
That's it for them!
It's been to, you know, everyone remembers listening to Tommy Vance, but you have to stay up till fucking midnight to listen to Tommy Vance. You know what I'm saying? So there's always been that little bit positioned as niche. Unless you're the Bon Jovis and White Snakes of this world, who can write radio-friendly 3.5-minute songs, you wouldn't get a look in, you know. So there's a historical issue there. But as JJ says, it's slow, but it is changing. It is starting to change. Sorry, man.
Well, you know, all around the country, the metal festivals, even in like inner city places like Leeds, London, Manny, do you ever think there'll be something like that in the northwest, or at least in around the Merseyside of Liverpool?
Well, the good news on that is I'm already actually in talks with people I know from the festival industry about possibly making it happen. So I can't get time to get anything like that, but of all things, a guy I went to uni and he's not. I went to a guy, I did event management and festival management in uni, and there's a fella I know from uni, and he's like into cream type stuff, and then, but he's fascinated by what we do. He's not a metalhead, but he's come to a couple of my gigs over the years, and he's just like, these people, they're not like other scenes. These people, you don't know each other, and you're all talking to each other, and and stuff like that. He's helping me. He's gone on from uni, and he's actually, of all things, he's a consultant helping other festivals around the country get their shit together. Me and him are working together, hopefully, and we're looking for somewhere we could possibly do a small open air, maybe 500 capacity, somewhere in Merseyside, just to see if we can make it happen.
What was the festival in, like, on the world, like Eastern Front headliners? It was like a few years ago, but
not to
the Ashes. Yeah.
I must have been, I don't actually remember what happened. I
need
to see
the vanish. It was As the Ashes was a fantastic festival, with numerous problems, and it didn't kind of survive, unfortunately, but it was a fantastic festival over the water. And what it highlighted was that the need for there to be some kind of symbiotic relationship between the council and the people involved within the city and the people organised. I don't know if the Ashes maybe had that, or there's possibly one reason it didn't work out. And there's lots of examples of that, and we saw that as a group of people. We saw these things, and we're like, why isn't this, and why isn't this happening? And it's tough when you start to break down the reality of it. It's very tough, some of the questions and answers that go with that. But as Andy says, there are now very marked moves to change that. And this whole event is meant to be an introduction, a handshake, so we can't show you everything that we've got as much as we want to. But needless to say, there are innumerable things coming up. It helps to see that this Metal on Merseyside project isn't us just putting on shows. That is a tiny, we're not promoters, we don't want to be, there's some fabulous promoters in this city and we will support them. And it's, we're not asking what you can do to help us, we're not asking that, we're asking in the reverse, what can we do to help you if you're looking to put a show on? If you want to put a festival on, be it a small festival, 500 people, whereas we will do our level best to help you make that happen. We want to facilitate, we want to help you, introduce you to people that can maybe help you get things done. Everything from someone who does reading graphics to someone who builds stages or whatever it may be. We're not asking for anything from you, we're asking what can we do for you? And there are moves, very pointed moves, to bring festival and larger scale events in. It's already starting. You will see that, guys, where bands are choosing this over other venues in other cities, are coming, breaking their tour cycle and coming here. It's a long process. We understand that this whole thing may take many, many years to the seeds to show fruition, but it has to fucking start. And it has to start. Anybody else?
Do you think your event is going to drive innovation? Do you think the bands here are going to change? Do you think, since 1986, Meshuggah fucking nailed it. Do you think the bands here are going to drive it forward from there? Because I honestly, what my opinion, don't think metal's changed much since then. So do you think from there, your event is going to drive it forward from there? Any metal act since then has driven it forward, not just in Liverpool, from there onwards.
Okay. When you say driven it forward, what do you mean exactly?
Different.
So you're giving a different style or a different genre?
The whole thing. I don't think the genre or anything's gone forward since then.
At this point, I think this is a Liverpool or Merseyside question. This is a metal in general. So, anyone familiar with Alien Weaponry? Yeah. Anyone familiar with the Who? Or anyone Woody Wood?
Sorry to get into this, but I see the points being made, but whether Michelle play Liverpool in the last 25 years, it's totally valid question, my friend. What's your name, sir?
Richie.
Hey, Richie. Totally valid question. And it comes up all the time. Why isn't...
Why hasn't
X-Band played? And it's... I wish the answer was like, it's this, thank you very much. It's not. It's far more convoluted. It goes back to support from, like, say, the council, and that's it. It's very convoluted. But in short, it's because there's no dialogue between the scene and the people that help the scene from a financial and a business point of view. That's the short answer. 100%. And so, because of that, there's a few people at this very show today who, like I said, have never come to that show before. They don't understand the scene, they've never been aware of it. And it's our job and our responsibility now in that one this side project is to engage those people and go, look at this wonderful thing that we have here, look how important it is, from not just a music and creative point of view, but a sociological point of view, look how important it is. And let me tell you, Richie, that is happening. That is changing.
It's super, this has to be a group effort. So everybody, the fans, the organisers, the bands, everybody,
yes.
Get involved in this. I'm not being biased here, but Manchester, they're doing a lot better than we are. We need that solidarity that they've got, and their support, the Birmingham change.
100%.
We had it in the 90s, what happened to it?
Richie, you're 100% right. I think everybody in here, there are people on this group of Metal and Merseyside that would never normally do work together because everybody's kind of separated. And we tried to pull this together to show. This is why there's five people sitting here to show you that as a group of people pushing and promoting this are together. We know you guys are together with us, and we know you support it.
Half the face is here, half the time, we know that's what we're doing.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to see you up there, what you're doing.
It has to start somewhere, Richard, I appreciate that. I hope that's good. Thank you, sir. I just want to quickly add something to the gentleman saying what's being done that's new and new. I would direct your attention, sir, to a band called Hemorrhage from San Francisco. They know about Liverpool. No, this is what I'm saying. You said, where's the next thing and the next stuff, and you think I'm showing you as an example. This is a band who bought a taco truck and played outside of a taco truck. They're not signed to any labels. They play thrash metal. They're a group of kids who couldn't get into their own venues. They're aware of the scene that's going on in Liverpool. They're aware of that. I've had them on the show and talked to them. What I'm trying to say is that innovation is happening, and we have to cop the best bits of innovation from what we see. There are some pretty experimental stuff coming through from Liverpool. We use Loathe as a perfect example of that. As someone, I would argue they're experimental, and they're doing something very new and interesting, and that can happen when it's fostered correctly in the right environment, and it's given an environment for that to happen. Sorry, I'm going on too much here. Any more questions?
Yeah, no.
Who hasn't said any questions before?
One of the rare things about finding out what was happening with the metal scene in Liverpool was trying to out about it. What plans have you got to make it like more easy to find out when gigs are like the place of this place now? This is like this could drive up a small room in the old zoo now. And the AL 12 team in it, and it's
so many
gigs in here. And it's got up to 6 fucking friends in a pint now. But it's hard to find out what's going on when metal gigs are happening and all.
That's definitely a question that we've been asked on a number of occasions. And when we had the book launch in a part of a work company, somebody did say to us, where do I actually go to find out about all the events which are happening in Liverpool? So one of those things is what we've tried to tackle. So we've launched the Metal on Merseyside Facebook and Instagram. And possibly today, if not over the next few days, the Metal on Merseyside website is going to be going live, where we're going to get hold of it, having a huge gig list. And so anything that we are aware of, anything that we're not aware of, people send us messages, we're going to be putting all the information that we can about when gigs are, where they are, where to buy tickets, who's playing, all of the information that we possibly can. So one of the big things that we really wanted to do was have that central location to find as much information. There's people who can move to Liverpool, people who come to Liverpool for university, people who come here on holiday, and they're like, oh, where do I go to find all that information? So one of the key things that we want to do is give people that thing. So when people go on Google and go, oh, I want to find out about Metal on Merseyside, we're going to be the first thing which comes up, which is a key point to this, the name that they've chosen, besides the fact that it was named after the next book. People are going to type into Google, Metal on Merseyside, it's going to come up with our social media, and they go, oh, right, there we go, straight away, a big list of all the things which are going on. That might then direct people for when they want to visit the city, like how long you want to spend here, or might stay an extra day there because there's something going on. So that's a big part of what we're doing. So it's a good question, and it's definitely a lot which we're going to be doing to fulfill that.
It is something that needs to happen.
Absolutely.
I remember
going to
a trip years ago in Panda Cake 6 or whatever it's called.
Yep, with loads of supporters.
And
then,
went to the Swan afterwards, and I was in there, and there were loads of people in there, but fucking hell, it was fixed on. I'm like, oh, he had no one there, he couldn't have done with people turning up, you know what I mean?
Having hosted and played shows around the city for over 10 years, I understand the acne after the show, where it's like, right, let's go and celebrate with a pint in this one. Oh, it's fine. How did everybody from this metal pub, probably the last one in the city, not come to the gig? Not just because I wanted to see my band or come to see the band that I've hosted, but it's like, did they know about it? Did they not know about it?
Yeah, it's something that needs to be easy
way. Having that said, like over the years since we've lost Brigham's, since we've lost like the courts and all the places where people hang out, there isn't those places anymore. So there's no, other than social media, we don't have the opportunity to spread word of mouth so much. Just when you're chatting with your mates, other than your own circles, and chances are in your own circle, everybody probably going to already know about the show. You're probably going to be the last person to already to know about that show. I was going to be like, how have you only just found out about that? So now we don't have those little pubs, those communities to share that, so we need to try and find ways to reintroduce that. We've had conversations, even as much as today, between us about what we can do, trying to reintroduce all ages gigs and drive our events, matinee shows, to get the young people out there to experience that, and how, delivering that message, getting that information out to people. So that's all, part of what we're trying to do.
So, Valentine, Valentine, question,
anyway? So one of the things I've seen in the scene in Manchester, which is growing, because I'm over that way a little more, is a lot of, we talked about it before, about gig swapping. There is actually some really fucking good grassroots up and coming bands that are doing different things and kicking ass with metal around the country. And they get asked by promoters to play Manchester quite a lot. Do you think that's a big change that we need to make in terms of inviting more people over to Liverpool? Because when you gig swap them, the likes of the Liverpool bands, a lot of which are here today, gig swap and go to Birmingham, speak to a shitload of metal fans, and like, oh shit, there is a scene in Liverpool. And it can rotate. How important do you think that technique is in ramping up the scene like we need to?
Well, actually, I've been putting on shows since 2011. I
first put a show on around 2007 here, in fact.
Yeah. So, as weird as we've got a lot of shows and broadcasts in Liverpool, and it's like I've always found bands want to play Liverpool. It goes up and down, but at one point I'd be getting maybe about 50 bands a week asking me to play Liverpool. It comes down to two things for me a lot of the time over my career as a promoter. Venues. Zanzibar, it's been here forever. But a lot of, I'll say the upper management stuff put a lot of stock in metal. It's like, so if I take around and contact them and say, I want to put a metal show on Saturday, there's a good chance to say no. If I say I want to do it on a Sunday or a Wednesday, they'll be like, you know what? Yeah, because if you get a couple of people that have been off on a Wednesday, but on a Saturday, it's a lot of Indians or students and stuff like that, and that's something, again, where it comes to the communication, where I know I used to, about 2014, when Facebook started charging for promoted posts. In over about 3 months, I went from about 120 people at a show to about 40 to 60. And at one point, even if it's like a hammer of the promotion, at one point I was only getting about 30 people. This is kind of like where we're just getting the website up on that. It's the website, I put shows on, Joe put shows on. But it's got to be anybody who's putting an alternative show on, be it punk, anything like that, not just, or even rock, not just metal. We're going to list it on the website, and hopefully eventually want to get to the point where people are going to look. And then once we start getting these numbers up, I'll be able to turn around and say to the venues like this, well, we're not getting 50 people, we're not getting 50 people. I think when I came off the door before, I think we're on 68 people through the door. If we can get to that 100 and say, I can come to here and say, I can guarantee we're getting 120 people. We'll crush the different venues, and then those bands that are contacting me, I can say, I can afford to put you on, because, pay the venue, and the venue's not going to go, so I'll say, no, fuck you, or whatever.
I just want to add to that we've invited people like Liam, Red Cardinal, who does Deadbolt in the City, which is a great metal night. Ian, who TKO runs everything out of Birmingham. Unfortunately, he's gone on holiday. Otherwise, he said he'd love to have been here today. So we are reaching out to everyone in any city in this country and saying to them, look, but the most important thing you've done is turn up tonight, because the photos, the videos, everything that goes from this show tonight will go online, and we'll show those people that this is happening and this matters. These two guys here got great relationships with Bloodstock, with the guys who do that. We've got relationships with the guys that do Download. We've got relationships with agents and all these kind of people. But showing tonight that this can happen will make more happen. So actually, you've already done the job. Well done.
Thank you. There's dialogue already happening between some of our friends in Manchester and beyond. They were like, okay, we're going to set the table and we'll set things up, and then it's open, like I said, it's open arms, the whole section of a manifesto that you can read on the website is to encourage people from those other areas, make it, get rid of those barriers and walls and have them come from other cities and we go to them and support that. But it needed to be a united front. That's why it has to be all of us, it has to be all of you. So I said,
so how can we help? As artists,
okay. As artists, you guys are doing pretty much everything you need to do. That's why it's such. It's,
promote yourselves and promote each other.
Yeah. It's to keep talking to us and keep working with each other. Keep doing what you're doing. In terms of fans, it's the same thing. We just need to do this more often. You want something you can do right the fuck now? As you quiet those ones down the room, and then you want something here, what you can do now? Go to a show, yeah, where you don't know who the bands are. That's it. Go to a show, you don't, because that doesn't happen. You're only going to see that surefire back. Go to see a show, take a chance. But we want someone for
buy
you.
An,
want
buy in advance. Buy in advance.
Yes. Buy in advance. Don't put in your interest in. Put in your fucking going. Buy the ticket beforehand and talk about the show. It sounds obvious. It sounds fucking too obvious. But no one does it. There was a girl. I don't know if she's about here. She probably is. Was walking past here during the sound checks and said, "I had a Dare 5 t-shirt on the time." And she said, "Oh, Dare 5?" And I was like, "Yeah, they're playing tonight for free." And she was like, "Holy shit, I'm a Deified fan and I didn't know that." That's what we're facing. There's such an algorithm to break through digitally to get this message through to people. We just have to keep fighting and keep pushing that.
So what more can we do as artists? What more can we do?
Okay, we'll do one more. It's a bigger question. And afterwards I will talk to you and I will post stuff on the website about these answers because it's quite a long expansive question. But I will start putting up things that we can do on a very basic level as well. You can do that as an artist to do that. And I will talk to you after the show. And as always, gentlemen here, we'll talk to everybody after the show. Open forum to ask us questions. What could you do? We will figure the necessary things out. This is just the start, remember, ladies and gentlemen. It's just the start before we move on to sort of much, much bigger things. So I've got time for one more, yeah?
Yeah, it's not a question, it's a point I'm going to make. You're talking about innovation in metal and Merseyside, and diversity is a crucial part of that. We need even more women in metal, and Charlotte, the owner of the group, is a very vital, important role model for that. So, women in metal, let's do it.
Fucking A. He's too nice to say, but this gentleman here is the proprietor of Dark Earth Records and Wallasey, a fine establishment, which I suggest you check out as well. Go on, Sharky. I just want to say, by the way, one of the number one things before, when I spoke at Liverpool University and spoke to people who didn't have any real knowledge of metal, and a lot of the ladies that I talked to in that audience were, didn't realise what metal was and thought that they would maybe be in danger in a show. And that was pretty embarrassed, I'll be honest with you. And I made sure that I am also, this is another thing we're going to lead into, to make people of all genders happy at our shows and comfortable and safe at our shows. Safe space for girls and things like that. Doing some fine work that we're going to start working with them and hopefully start talking to them. Because it's incredibly important. Everybody should be able to come through that fucking door and come to this pit. I don't give a fuck. Everybody should. Yes! Everybody should. Yes! No matter what.
I just want to sort of, because the vibe has been a bit, oh, what can we do with some things happening? I want to give you some good news. Do you want some good news? This isn't quite public yet, but I'll tell you because I'm in talks with management of where I am, and I'm going to get a shot twice as big as I have now. And I'm looking at, which will give me more space to start more bands and other shit as well. But tell me what you want me to stop, seriously.
More power metal!
Tragically, power metal is one of those genres where it doesn't deal to retail very often. And the shit I do have doesn't sell that much. I've got Blind Guardian in the shop and hardly anyone buys it. But yeah, because I like, I've got Behemoth on the shelf. next to Billie Eilish. And people are going to go, why the fuck do you sell Billie Eilish? I'll tell you why, it's because her fans come in and nag the fuck out of me until I stock it, just to shut them up. So do that, come and nag me for shit. If I can get it, I will stock it, I promise you, and I will have the space to do it now. Ladies and gentlemen, Sharky! Top boy. Then the reason I have Hawk Wind on my shelf is because a guy used to come in every week and say, have you got Hawk Wind yet? I stopped it just to shut him up. And it sells now, so it's great.
Sharky, can I make your first request then? If you get a premises twice the size, I want you to have a corner in your shop. And every week, I get in touch with one of our local bands and say,
we'll do a set.
Bring some t-shirts down, bring some stock, and I'll stick in that corner.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. People ask me about stocking local bands all the time. Now, previously I've said the only people who buy local bands merch are the friends and family, who probably already have it anyway. Is stocking local bands something you'd like me to see do?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like, if you think you have enough fan base, it's like, if you think you have a fan base beyond your friends and family who've already bought your shit already, then maybe I'll do it. But you know, tell me, dialogue.
Okay, right. So, hands up, is your mum here tonight?
No. Oh, so a lot of people's mum's here tonight.
I think there's people out there who got people fans.
Seriously, like. What's great about that? That's an interesting example there. Sharky started a store, sells merch, and because of the scene, he couldn't put her in that shop anywhere. Because of the scene, he's now getting people and he's expanding his business. This is the hidden side of what we're trying to do as well. Yes, it's putting shows on, and that's everything, but it's the hidden side of actual businesses that are behind it as well.
I will mention the Stranger Things effect. Now, a lot of people might moan and say, oh, Stranger Things, fuck it, you know, Eddie's nonsense. But seriously, so many kids have gone into metal because of this show. I'm literally getting 13-year-old kids in the shop who've heard Metallica for the first time on that show and say, what do I need to listen to now? I love that shit. I'll get a funny story. A guy picked up a Black Label Society shirt from my shop. He misread the label, he thought it said Black Sabbath. And he's like, he's buying the shirt going, oh, I love Black Sabbath. I was like, this isn't Black Sabbath. And do you know who it is? And he went, no, it's Black Label Society. He played into Black Label Society. He said, I fucking love this. Bought the shirt. He's going to go home and listen to Black Label Society. And so sometimes that's it. Sometimes it's all reason.
One more of that. Job done. So, this is merely an introduction, ladies and gentlemen, but there will be many more of these type of QAs and symposiums where we can chop stuff up and figure what we're doing out. It was merely just to say hey and say, look, these faces, these people you can contact, we're not behind anything going with that, we are here for you to talk to and engage, and we will try and figure out what we can to help the scene. I hope you enjoyed this evening, I hope you've enjoyed the band so far. I do have a treat, and that treat is, we do have royalty here. So I'd like to bring up, she won't like me calling them royalty, but that is the truth. I'd like to bring these people up. Can you give a warm round of applause for our keynotes? It's a start, most of you will know Sal from Milpac. And I really wanted to get Sal involved, incredibly important figure in our business.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going around the course for this wonderful sound.
Hi everybody!
Hi Dr.
I don't know whether everybody actually knows who I am. I haven't actually been on the scene for quite some time. I stopped doing Whiplash Promotions in 2013 due to ill health. However, Whiplash was an incredible journey, and I'm going to have to just tell you a little bit about it. Before I actually talk about Whiplash, I wanted to tell you about my first gig, my first proper gig, my first gig that I went to with friends rather than my parents. And that was in, I'm showing my age now, in 1992. I went to see Cannibal Corpse. in the basement at the Royal Court, and it blew me away, and I absolutely loved it. Okay? Now, my first proper gig, it is still one of my favourite gigs to this day. It really is. I absolutely love it. Mr. Barnes stood on my hand. It was amazing. Everything about it was incredible. And I didn't know then that 10 years later, I would be giving people experiences like that. Didn't even dawn on me. Whiplash happened by accident. So for those who don't really know, I like extreme metal, death metal, black metal, power metal, any metal since I was 13, 14. Really, really liked live music. And I found that there was nowhere that really catered just for me. And friends who like that as well, not just me. And I was drunk in a club over on the Wirral called Stairways, if anybody remembers Stairways. And Pantera was on, giving it belly. And then he played the Prodigy straight after, and I was just like crestfallen. So I went straight back to the bar, started drinking again. I was a bit drunk. And I was chatting to the bar, to the owner of Stairways, and I was like, I can't follow Pantera. With the Prodigy of the Scars. And he said, well, could you do any better? And I said, oh, with my eyes shut. Who the hell am I? I was 24 years old, never done anything like that in my life. And I said, he said, right, okay, well, I'll give you the second Saturday of every month, would you DJ? And I was like, yeah, I will. And I did. So for the first 9 months, I had second Saturday of every month. And then after 9 months, a friend's band came to see me. I said, there's a bloody brilliant stage there. Do you reckon we could play for you? And I went, well, I'll see what I can do. So plans were arranged. Yes, the band said they would play. I don't know whether anybody knows Dimanthian.
Hey!
Yeah, Dimanthian wanted to play. So I was assured they had everything. They had backline, not they didn't have backline, they had cymbals, guitars, they had mic stands, full PA system, and on the night when we got there, they had none of it, absolutely had none of it, and we were like, oh my, they didn't have microphones. Luckily enough, guys from Malcolm over there, and they actually lent us theirs, we came over to Liverpool and got their things, and it was a really, really good night. About three times as many people came because it was live music than just came to listen to me playing Children of Bodom and Cradle of Filth. Don't know why. and it was brilliant and it was really good. So I wanted to do it more regularly but recognised that Birkenhead wasn't really the place to do it. So I came over to Liverpool and I started in Barhanna, which is by the Bondown Church. It doesn't look like it did. It didn't look like it does now, although I've not been for a while, but I started putting second Saturday of every month. I used to put three or four bands on from anywhere in the country who'd contact me. Like Andy was saying, lots of people contact you when they know you've got a gig. I remember going down to London and going to the World's End and seeing a band play. Afterwards saying, do you fancy coming up to Liverpool? You can say in mine. And it's just random woman going up and inviting me to go up to Liverpool. But they did, they were called Violent Asylum, and they were awful. Sorry guys. But they were very loud, so they did the rainbow cover. People loved them at the time. But it was good. And we used to get people who'd come from Plymouth, we had a guy from Plymouth who was to come up, and then we'd send Dimanthian down to Plymouth to do gig stops. And then I changed venue, I went to a bigger venue, it was bigger, and it's sadly not there anymore. Much the same as Hannah's isn't there for live music anymore. Heaven and Hell, does anybody remember Heaven and Hell when it was Heaven and Hell? And I used to play Bar Hell, used to have bands in Bar Hell. Now, this one night it was double booked and I had to play Bar Heaven instead, which was the downstairs, and it was absolutely adorned with clouds. It was like the start of The Simpsons. It was great. And a guy had contacted me from a band called Oblivion Eyes. I didn't know at the time, and I didn't know until a long time after, that it was the drummer from the band Bore Rocket. It was his second band, or his 19th band, as Inky John used to have about 700 bands.
All drummers have 700.
Yeah. Correct. Now, he was so impressed with the show and how it was run, and the people were coming to Liverpool, that he asked if I would put on Bore Rocket in here. Well, I put it on in here. With a band called Decapitated. Okay, that was prior to the accident. So it was the original lineup with Decapitated, and it was an absolutely mental night. Faces, bodies, and from that gig, I hear that, for example, Joe met his band members and his mates from you. And started a band, and I hear that from that gig people forged relationships and bands, and it was just incredible. Now, sadly, that was my last gig for a while, and that was in 2005? Yeah, in 2005. And the format was always the same. I would DJ till the wee hours, DJing Death Black, bit of power metal, some grinds, whatever was wanted. I did throw the line at Slipknot, I'm sorry. if you wanted Slipknot, there was other clubs that would play that for you. And flash forward to 2010, I missed it now. But I missed it so much that I decided to bring it back. And it kind of exploded. It exploded, there's no kind of about it. My first gig was I was going to put a couple of little bands on. I was going to put Slovenia on, who were playing tonight. Well, some of them were playing tonight in the first band that played. And Demo Q were going to play, and my brain's gone. But it was going to be a great night. I booked it. It was going to be in the loft at the
Barfly.
Thank you. And then they double booked me with Napalm Death. So my first comeback show was double booked. But the Barfly were amazing, and they made it a double headliner. Everybody who paid to come to my gig, we went to the Napalm gig, and it was a double. You could just walk between. We made sure the stages didn't clash, and it was incredible. DJ till 3 o'clock. Amazing. It was brilliant to be back.
Neuroma,
of course. Neuroma, Ethereal, and Decapitated. Desecration headlines. Okay, thank you. Brain. Okay, so from that gig, from that gig, we had lots more shows booked. I put shows on such as Vader, Deicide, Duarte. Oh, help us out, guys.
Niall.
Yeah.
Gorgoroth.
Yeah, Gorgoroth. Niall.
Celtic Cross.
No, not Celtic Cross.
Belfable.
Yeah, Belfable came to play for me. One of the biggest bands that I didn't tell you, they played for Hell before I retired first time round, and that was Behemoth. Behemoth.
15 people made it.
No, it wasn't the busiest gig, I have to ask to be said. And they played with on a little tiny step stage with one red light. I don't think they'll ever play Liverpool again, unfortunately. Considering they just headlined Woodstock. But hopefully they will remember fondly coming to Liverpool. What I want to say is, since I've helped with Whiplash, but since Whiplash, I have given people the kind of memories that I have from my first gig. Okay? Now, from my first gig, I had such a fabulous time feeling, and it just cemented my relationship with metal. And I've had people who, I've had Hindus come into shows, I've had people propose at my shows, I've had people meet their other halves at my shows, people playing their first gigs for me, and then I've gone on to much better things. First gigs are never really good. But they, you know, they've done fabulous things, they've grown, I've seen people grow, and it's been brilliant. Now, what I think Metal on Merseyside is doing is picking up that mantle and running with it. They're not just having a go, they're running with it. And from what I've heard and what has been said, they're running fast. So I just want to say good luck to everybody. I feel like I should have a bottle of champagne and smash it on the front of the boat. But yeah, it's been an absolutely fantastic launch, and it's been absolutely brilliant to be invited here to speak. Unfortunately, I've spoken a lot longer than I wanted to. But it's been a really, really good night. I'm looking forward to seeing day five. Sorry. I can do that all night. I'm looking forward to seeing day five as well, so I think I better get off the stage and let them get on with it, hadn't I?
Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, Sal, please, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go. Please feel free to contact us. This is the whole point of this project, is to sort of engage and communicate with the community and help foster and curate future events and future things that are going to be beneficial to the scene. Once again, thank you to all the bands that played. Everybody was fucking really good. And it was a real, you know, as cliche as it may sound, there was a real great energy that people wanted to help and wanted to change and wanted to make the scene better. And help it survive and thrive. And that was something very special, I think, we got from that. I hope you enjoyed Sal's little keynote as well. I thought that was great. Sal, incredibly important person within the scene. And we just wanted to build on the things that she's done, as long as quite a lot of people have done and a lot of people in the scene have done. We wanted to build and move forward with that. And please check out metalonmerseyside.co.uk, which is the website, and all the social medias that are attached to that, and start the conversation, start talking to us about what you want to see and how you want to help, and the things that we can do to help the projects that you're involved in and the bands that you're involved in. It's incredibly important that we work together. It's collaborative. I hope you enjoyed the show as well. I hope you enjoyed the watching the bands and seeing how great music we have to offer in Merseyside. There was people there at the show that don't normally come to metal shows, and it starts to open a door to them about what's fantastic and what's superb about the metal scene that's right on their doorstep. So that was great to see as well. And I wanted to thank my cohort, as I call them, in Metal on Merseyside as well. Thanks, guys, for helping the project come to life and helping me be a part of it and bringing me in to do my small part of it. I really appreciate that. And to the entire community as a whole, I'm constantly getting messages now about people I haven't even met. I thought I knew everybody on the scene. I have no idea. There's way more people. It was Gork. And some people as well involved kind of the outward side of it, like the sort of the business side of it, have made contact. So once again, you know, thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the show.